Welcome to the Forks Audio Tour. We're going to start under the canopy in the plaza right outside the Forks Market Building. Ask anyone where that is, they'll help you. Just press pause, we'll be waiting for you there. When you arrive at the center of the canopy, press play. Oh, and by the way, if you're here in the winter, watch out for the skaters. Our starting place is right at the center ice and is a popular spot for ice skating. Okay, press pause now and we'll see you in a few minutes. Welcome, bienvenue, bonjour, tanchi, anin, tanse. Great to be meeting you. Welcome to Treaty 1 territory and the traditional territories of the Anishinaabeg, Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, Lakota, and Dene people, as well as the homeland of the Métis Nation, and now the home for thousands of cultures and communities. You have arrived and are about to discover the Forks, one of the oldest and most important spaces in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and Canada. I'm Negan Sinclair, and I am Curator of Indigenous History here at the Forks, and I'm also a Professor of Native Studies at the University of Manitoba. I'm really excited to join with you as we go on this tour through space and time. Today, we'll be taking a walk around the Forks, learning about what's happening here, and seeing some of its current highlights. We'll get an idea of why over 4 million visitors come yearly to the Forks, and along the way, I'll introduce you to some of my friends who will tell you about their favorite Forks spot, too. Here, say hello to them now.
Hi, I'm Glenn.
And I'm Tina, and we're looking forward to meeting you at Odena, the heart of the community.
Anin, hello, my name is Barbara Nepinak. I'll see you in a little bit.
Hi everyone, my name is Clarence Nepinak. I always identify myself when I'm meeting people with a traditional name, and that's Seven Eagles, Nishasuganyo.
My name's Kevin, I'm the Curator of Archaeology at the Manitoba Museum.
Our walking tour today is approximately 4,000 steps. It will take about an hour at a nice, moderate pace. The path is wheelchair accessible, and there are lots of restrooms along the way. And of course, we welcome you to press pause at any time you'd like to spend more time anywhere. Just return to the spot where you paused, press play, and we'll be waiting for you. Okay, let's get started. Begin by looking down at your feet. You are standing on land that has been inhabited by generations of people who traveled here to connect and trade. Now look up. You are here, at the center of it all. Imagine seeing through the top of the canopy to the Manitoba sky. Winnipeg residents enjoy 2,300 hours of sunlight annually and up to 16 hours of sunlight daily during the summer months. Let's do a 360. Slowly turn right around. This place has had many names over the years, but Cree peoples called this place Nestawea, three points. The word represents the three directions communities would travel on rivers to this place to live, hunt, fish, and trade with one another. Now we call it the Forks. All these buildings you see, including the market, are from the time when Canada began and the railroad was king, from the late 1800s to the early 1900s. In fact, that building with the big glass tower, the Forks Market, was very important for the railroad. Can you guess what it was used for? Here's a hint. It had more horsepower than the most powerful locomotive. Now, just before we head out, I'd like to show you an example of how the rivers shaped life here. Take a look at those pillars holding up the canopy. Do you see the two lines of brown tile? The top line represents the height the Red River reached in 1852, the worst flood in Manitoba history. So, if you were standing here, you'd need a snorkel. Since then, Winnipeg has been protected from flooding by a big ditch called the Winnipeg Floodway, completed in 1968. The floodway was the second largest earth-moving project in the world, second only to the Panama Canal, and it has protected the city from flooding on numerous occasions since. Are you ready? Let's get moving. Let's begin by facing the river and that big orange and gray lighthouse. That's called the Dolphin. We want to take approximately 40 steps to the top of the stairs to have a look at the Forks historic port.
We want to stay on top of the stairs to view all the activity in the harbor.
as we head towards the water, I'd just like to tell you that the Forks has been an important port for thousands of years, from hundreds of canoes carrying furs and peoples, to York boats full of trade goods, to steamboats and immigration sheds holding thousands of newcomers, right now to the present day. Today, the water still connects the city. In the summer, there's water taxis and tour boats leaving every 15 minutes. And in the winter, this port transforms into the beginning of the world's longest natural skating trail.
Let's turn around with our back to the river. Do you see the building just to the right of the canopy that says the Forks Pavilion?
Let's start walking in that direction, and 38 more steps will get you to the foot of some stairs and a ramp.
It's truly amazing that one month you could be on a boat tour, and the next skating on the same river. With almost 100 degree range in temperature, plants had to be special to grow, as we are about to see.
Look up to see the Prairie Garden sign. Go up the stairs or ramp and follow the path.
You will see a sculpture of two deer on the left.
And surrounding you is the Prairie Garden Archaeological Site. This 20,000 square foot garden features various native prairie grasses and wildflowers, providing visitors with a glimpse into Manitoba's natural history. But beneath this carefully landscaped garden lies generations of human activity. Right here, a 3,000-year-old settlement and trading center was discovered 10 feet below the surface. Evidence confirms that people from the north, the plains, and the west met here to trade and visit. In fact, we go even farther than that. Archaeological digs that took place during the Forks' early days of redevelopment led to the discovery of a 6,000-year-old settlement found near the Forks Market Building. Now, we want to keep right on the path, and approximately 85 steps should take you to the foot of the bridge.
Before we cross the bridge, let's stop under the mural for a moment to take it all in.
Look up at the beautiful mural painted on the concrete counterweight by artist Mike Valcourt. It is called Jackson Beardy, Woodlands Group of Seven Tribute. That's Jackson Beardy in the colorful shirt. The Indian Group of Seven, a group of remarkable Indigenous artists, originated right here in Winnipeg, and their unique styles are all represented here. Commenting on the mural, Valcourt said, "I've situated Beardy as the single human figure in the painting. He appears to be barely hanging on to life and light, as represented by the darkness that surrounds him. He slowly sinks towards the ground and into the earth while reaching towards the most important part of the painting, his vision. Beardy is almost blinded by his vision and lies on the ground, shielding his eyes, while at the same time reaching out towards it." As you can see, Beardy's vision and the impact of Indigenous art and history still lives through the Forks, reminding us all of the importance of reconciliation and community in this place. More on this in a minute. Let's take a walk to see one of my favorite spots. It's the best viewpoint to see the confluence of the two rivers. Walk about 80 steps, about 3/4 of the way across the bridge, where the sidewall is not so tall. While we're walking, let me tell you a little bit about this unique bridge. It was completed in 1888. If we were standing here 100 years ago, that sound would mean we'd have to walk a little faster, as that's the warning sound that the bridge is about to open. This bridge is known as a bascule, which is French for seesaw. It literally tips up when the counterweight with our mural on it is lowered. This allowed steamships to pass under as it is raised and for trains to go across when it's lowered. Do you see those wooden gates on each side of the bridge? That's a great spot to stop and have a look. Let's look over the left side first. There in front of you is the confluence of the Red and the Assiniboine Rivers. The Red is the larger, wider one running parallel to the bridge. It's really unusual as it's the only river in North America that flows south to north, 885 kilometers from the United States to Lake Winnipeg. Right below us, we see the Assiniboine coming all the way from the Great Plains of Saskatchewan, a journey of 1,070 kilometers. These rivers were the early highways that allowed Indigenous peoples to come distances from every point of the compass to meet here. Apparently, the fishing was fantastic, and in fact, it still is. There are an amazing 79 species of fish, making this one of the most productive biosystems in Canada. If you're lucky, you might still catch a goldeye, or you could catch a smoked one in the Forks Market today. Now turn around and let's cross to the opposite side of the bridge. You should be looking at the Forks Historic Port and the Forks Commons. We're standing on the old rail bridge. You can see the current rail bridge with the city behind. 38 CN trains a day steam down the main line through the Forks into the station every day. If you're here in the winter, you'll be looking at the longest skating rink in the world, where thousands of skaters enjoy the chilly weather and unique warming huts. If you're here in the summer, you'll be looking at boat taxis coming and going, enjoying another beautiful Manitoba day. Let's take a moment now to imagine the year is 1914. The Forks are in the midst of a great change. The fur trade, canoes, and York boats are being replaced by new technologies. This bridge is brand new, and the steamship Assiniboine is carrying lumber from St. Paul, Minnesota. It needs to get to the busy Forks Harbor to unload its cargo. At the same time, those steamers were also carrying the instrument of their own demise, the train. Canada's first locomotive, the Countess of Dufferin, arrived here by barge, and within a decade, the steamboat era was all but over. In fact, you can still find that same Countess of Dufferin locomotive on display at the Railway Museum located inside Union Station. Winnipeg at this time is booming. In fact, downtown real estate is amongst the most expensive in the world. Look at the city skyline. Now, imagine all those modern skyscrapers have melted away with the years. The tallest building left is just off to the right, the Hotel Fort Garry. It's the old castle with the green spires, although back then that green would appear as new, shining copper. Can you see the Golden Boy way off in the distance? He reached that lofty spot atop the Manitoba Legislative Building in 1919. All the buildings you see now at the Forks were there back then. Let's continue to the end of the bridge, but stay on the bridge boards. This piece of land to the south of the bridge is the southernmost point of the Forks land. Let's pause for a moment under the shade of these trees. Here we're going to meet elders Barb and Clarence Nepinak, who can tell us more about this important site.
Anine, hi. We're here at the South Point, where the two rivers meet, and it is known as Yinshozibik. I'll show you how to say it, so if you don't mind, just close your eyes and listen. Yinshozibik. Now I want you to repeat it with me. Yinshozibik. So what that means is this is where the two rivers meet, and this is a significant area historically from the view of our ancestors.
And I'm Clarence Nepinak. This area that we're in right now has been very important historically for our people, because for thousands and thousands of years they met here. They can go any place in North America from this site, because they traveled by water, by canoes. They could go north from here. They could go east from here. They could go south from here. And they could go west from here. They traded here, negotiated. They negotiated marriages. They negotiated trips. They negotiated trade goods.
This is a significant area and where celebrations take place. Well, we do celebrations here for various reasons, but most importantly, we celebrate Aboriginal Day with the whole city of Winnipeg, where people are welcomed. And also when we have visitors, we formally welcome them to the territory.
Thank you for being with us here on this tour. There are certainly other things that are happening around the Forks, so you're more than welcome to be here. And don't let the weather turn you away, because regardless of how cold it gets, you will certainly get a warm reception.
Miigwech, thank you.
Miigwech, and thank you, Barb and Clarence. Ahead of us, at the end of that path, is a striking 30-foot sculptural piece called Nimama. Nimama is a word recognized by Cree, Ojibwe, and Métis speakers as my mother. Nimama was created by three Indigenous artists, Casey Adams, Val Vint, and Jamie Isaac, and is a sculpture of a pregnant woman looking out upon the water. She represents motherhood, the earth, and new beginnings for everyone who comes to this place. If you go there, you are encouraged to travel to her womb, to sit, reflect, and experience the beauty of life. This is about a 10-minute round trip. If you want to check it out now, press pause to continue along the path and discover Nimama, or come back later for a closer look. If you want to go see it, we'll wait for you right here. Press pause now. If not, we'll continue along our journey. Let's head back the way we came across the bridge.
While we're strolling along, approximately 70 steps, let's listen to Sierra Noble, one of Manitoba's favorite fiddlers, playing Manitoba's most famous Métis fiddle tune, the Red River Jig.
While we're strolling, let's look off to the right. The big building you are looking at on the right hand, opposite bank, is the St. Boniface Hospital. It was the first hospital in Western Canada. St. Boniface was a French Métis town. The Métis are a distinct nation formed by the descendants of European settlers and Indigenous peoples, and built a large part of Manitoba's economy via the fur trade. The Métis also formed Manitoba's first government, under Métis leader Louis Riel, and at one time even declared its own independence. Later, Riel and the Métis negotiated Manitoba's entry into Confederation, and in fact, many Bois Brûlés, French-speaking Métis, still live there. St. Boniface was incorporated into the city of Winnipeg in 1971 and is now the home of the largest French-speaking community outside of Quebec. We now want to stop at that double-sided wooden panel with the carvings on each side. Do you see the side with the river and animal symbols carved on it? This is a replica of the 1817 Peguis-Selkirk Treaty that first brought European settlers and Indigenous peoples into a relationship on the Red River. The dots represent the newcomers, and the animal signatures to the left are the totems which represent each of the five chiefs who agreed to create a treaty that would last forever. For Indigenous peoples, treaty is about creating family, people who rely on and share with one another, and without this treaty, there would be no Manitoba. This is one of the most important documents in Manitoba history. In my teaching, especially with young people, I teach about the importance of this treaty all the time. In fact, it's so important I've tattooed it on my arm. It's like traditional PowerPoint. The other side celebrates Mikwagami Wissipi, the Red River. The word Mikwa means red and refers to the red soil in the water, especially seen during floods. Gama is moving and Sipi is river. The river was designated as a Canadian Heritage River in 2007, meaning it is conserved and protected by Canadian laws and governments.
As we head to the end of the bridge, we want to continue on for approximately 70 steps. We are heading towards those stone monoliths and unique sculptures.
If you look to the right, that sculpture of white marble is the monument for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, the first of its kind in Canada. You may notice red tobacco ties or other gifts at the foot of the monument. Those are placed to remember the many sisters, aunties, daughters, and grandmothers lost in our community.
Let's turn around.
You should see the large circular grass bowl surrounded by celestial armatures and stone monoliths. Follow the path around to the grand staircase entrance and ramp. It is approximately 100 steps. This is the Odena Celebration Circle. Odena comes from the Ojibwe word for heart, Ode, and therefore means the heart of the community. Let's walk to the bottom, where we'll meet Constantina Duvris and Glenn Manning. They are the senior architects with the firm that designed and created this amazing space. As you head down the ramp or stairs, keep this in mind. Odena is, amongst many things, a time machine. As you head down, you are descending 3,000 years through time.
Hi, I'm Glenn.
Hi, it's Tina.
So here we are on this stage at the bottom of the bowl of Odena. In order to understand the design ideas behind Odena, it's useful to know where the Forks was at as this place was coming into being. It was just taking off. It was there was a lot of commercial and recreational development happening, but there really wasn't a space itself that would allow for commemoration. So Odena was conceived as a place to allow people to get at what made this place special and what had been drawing people here for the last 3,000 to 6,000 years.
Odena sought to put people back in touch with the natural elements of earth, fire, water, and sky.
So the bowl functions in a lot of different ways. First of all, it provides shelter. And part of the idea of having shelter is it creating a sense of respite. And at the heart of this is the fire pit. So being able to sit around the fire, share stories, enjoy the wonder of the starry night, and the beauty of the sun on the horizon, those are all ideas that connected us to the natural world.
The monoliths that you see around the perimeter of the site are actually lined up so you can view the solstice and equinox sunrise and sunset. They're made of this sandstone cobblestone that came from Boisevain, Manitoba, but actually were first used here at the Forks in the roadways and to pave inside the rail tracks. And Odena was the first reuse of this material at the Forks development.
If you're out here on the winter solstice, which is around December 20th, 21st, you'll find that there'll be crowds of people gathering right on this stage, sometimes not an inch to spare, all dancing, there's drumming going on, and it's all a celebration and a welcoming of the return of the sun at 25 below.
Those sculptural armatures that you see around the perimeter of the site, those actually are the Naked Eye Observatory. They have sight rings that allow you to see the 18 brightest stars in the sky. The northeast armature is actually sighting Vega, a star in the constellation Lyra, which is a harp. A really cool feature at this armature is the Aeolian harp. It's a wind instrument, and if you get here at the right time with the right winds, you'll get to hear this lovely sound.
Yeah, that sound wasn't entirely what we were anticipating as we were building this thing. It was a huge challenge, and all of the math that was done in order to make sure this works told us it wouldn't work. So the fact that we're hearing anything at all, we're pretty happy. We ended up having to talk to a local harp maker about the design of the tuning pegs, who just happened to be a physicist as well, so he helped us with the math. But my goodness, it was a difficult job, and it's a constant chore in order to keep tuning the thing. They're all tuned to the same note, to the note F. So if you look around at the inscriptions on the monoliths, you'll see that they represent myths and stories from all over the world. We have Egypt and Africa, we have the Middle East, all sorts of different stories. And when we were thinking about the idea of creating a spiritual landscape, we really wanted to make this one that touched all sorts of different cultures. But to our surprise and delight, the local indigenous community has really embraced this place. Some of the aspects here seem to resonate quite deeply with them. And the Forks is working in partnership with some local indigenous groups who have become stewards of the space, that are helping look after it, and they're also helping program it and share some of their cultural ideas with the public and with all the visitors that come here.
Well, thanks for coming by and learning about Odena. I really invite you to come back, walk around, and look at all the monoliths. They have such beautiful carvings and inscriptions in them.
This was a lot of fun to design this space, and we really encourage you to come back and explore all it has to offer.
Thank you, Glenn and Constantina. I'll certainly be coming back. Now let's head back up the grand staircase to the main path. we want to head away from Odena on the path towards the inn at the Forks building. Continue along the path for approximately 40 steps, and we'll tell you a few things about the buildings you see around you as we're strolling. This building to your extreme left is the Johnson Terminal. It's currently the home to boutique shops and restaurants, but at the turn of the century, this was a cold storage railroad facility. I always wondered why in our wintry climate we had to store cold, but anyways, the building was built a little too big and the trains couldn't get by. The solution? They trimmed off the corner of the building with just a little off the top. Continue along the path for another 40 steps. On your left, you should be seeing the Inn at the Forks. The Inn at the Forks is a popular spa, hotel, and restaurant. If you're visiting us from out of town, you might even be staying there. Now let's stroll on the path between the Inn at the Forks and that colorful cube. That's the Bonnie and John Bueller Welcome Center of the Manitoba Children's Museum. The Manitoba Children's Museum, where kids can play and maybe learn a little at the same time. My personal favorite there has always been the train. Admission is just $11, so if you have wee ones, be sure to check it out. But if you're a grown-up, just know that you have to be with a kid to be allowed entry, no matter how young at heart you are. Keep right on the path for approximately 60 steps. As you go, you will see the torch that burned all through the summer of 1999 when Winnipeg played host to the Pan American Games.
Today, the 23rd day of July 1999, I solemnly declare open the 13th Pan American Games.
Continue on the path to walk through the Forks Public Orchard. The orchard contains 61 fruit trees, including apple, apricot, cherry, pear, and plum, and as many as 75 fruit-bearing shrubs. If you're here while the fruit is ripe, please try some. But please be careful not to break any branches. Just gently grab the fruit, twist, and enjoy. Continue along the path. You should see a roundabout, and then head a bit to the right towards the Heritage Adventure Park, a unique history playground for kids. It's designed to be a play park, interpretive site, and an outdoor education center all in one. And we now want to walk down Main Street, generally heading towards that white tower with the suspension cables. That's the Riel Esplanade. Continue on the path for approximately 100 steps until you arrive at a circle of limestone pillars. You should be pretty close now. Do you see the pillars? Turn left into that circle of stone pillars. This is the Forks National Historic Site. This site is dedicated to preserving and presenting the 6,000-year history of human presence and activity at the juncture of the Red and Assiniboine Rivers. Let's have a look at that sculpture right in the middle of the circle. It's called the Path of Time sculpture. Here, the history of the prairies is symbolized. Those symbols represent the path of time and technologies that have helped shape Manitoba. Look closely and you can see a microscope, a tractor, a telephone, and even a computer. Are we ready to continue? Now we want to head out the way we came and head straight ahead, down to the water. That's the Red River, by the way. Across the river, you can see the ruins of St. Boniface Cathedral. The cathedral was completed in 1908 and was the center of French and Métis culture for generations, but tragically was gutted by an extensive fire on July 22, 1968, leaving just its stone walls intact. The present cathedral was designed by Franco-Manitoban architect Étienne Gabory. The image of this burnt cathedral is seared into every Manitoban's memory. We are honored to have Étienne here to tell us of his experience designing the new cathedral.
The cathedral fire was very dramatic, very moving and depressing experience. It's also almost inconceivable that such a magnificent, powerful, beautiful structure could collapse so quickly, so easily. it seems so permanent, so dominant in our landscape. But the interesting thing is that there, after the fire, the ruins are still quite dominant. There's a lot of controversy about what we should do with the cathedral after it burnt down. Some people wanted to restore the cathedral exactly as it was. Others, like myself, said, I don't think that is very realistic. They engaged an architect to study the possibility of restoring it. It was very extremely expensive, and so expensive they abandoned the idea. They did not ask me to retain or use the ruins. They said I was completely free to do what I wanted. But having seen the ruins, it seemed to me sort of inconceivable that I would not only retain them, but use them as part of the design. My mandate was for 1,000, so which is exactly half of the old cathedral. So I decided to take the west half, which is with the front of the cathedral, and use that west half as an entry plaza, an entry space. In French, l'espace des catéchumènes. It's the catechumens in the past early churches. There's a place where the people gathered outside the church to enter the church. So this was this gathering place. So I retained the existing building, the structure, especially the east portion, which had not been destroyed, and abutted the new cathedral onto the apse. So the ruins really are sort of a vessel that receives the new cathedral. The new cathedral arises out of ruins, like in the Phoenix, rising from the ashes.
A bronze plaque near the main entrance of the old St. Boniface Cathedral honors the memory of Métis leader Louis Riel, who led a resistance movement against Canada and was later hanged for it. Riel is now recognized as the founder of Manitoba, and a provincial holiday is held in his honor. His body is buried on this site of the Basilica, and you can hear about his life on a great tour walk on that side of the river in St. Boniface. If you have time, it's highly recommended. Now, we want to turn away from the water and take the first right-hand path along the river. We're heading for that beautiful pedestrian suspension bridge, also designed by Étienne Gaboury. It's about 200 steps. And while we're walking, let's listen again to Sierra Noble and the Warrior's Lament. Continue along the path until you arrive at a junction, with a fountain gate on your left and a pedestrian bridge directly opposite. Have you found it? This is the entrance to the Broadway Promenade. Stand right at the center of that patio roundabout and look both ways. The Broadway Promenade is the pedestrian connection between the Esplanade Riel Pedestrian Bridge and Union Station and Broadway Avenue. The promenade restores the original linear connection between downtown Winnipeg and St. Boniface. Shall we promenade along? Let's walk between the two fountains and continue along the cobblestones toward that incredible glass and limestone building to your right. This is the Canadian Museum of Human Rights. Inside, you'll find stories of devastation and hope as you journey through the complex and emotional subject of human rights. The museum has an excellent audio guide included with admission, so be sure to ask for one as you get a ticket to continue your exploration inside. As we're walking, we are passing by the prairie grass garden that surrounds the museum. At one time, most of North America was covered by these native grasses,
and supported bison herds in the tens of millions. Now, less than 1% of the natural prairie grasslands remains, mostly in restoration projects like this garden. Continue along the path to arrive at one of the most significant sites at the Forks. You will notice a series of benches and a protective wall surrounding a campsite. It is a nice place to sit and relax for a minute or two. For generations, Indigenous elders and experts have been telling us about an extremely important peace meeting that took place here at the Forks over 500 years ago. It was like an Indigenous UN, with nations coming here from all across the continent to set aside their differences and make peace. Recent archaeological recoveries have confirmed evidence of this great coming together. I'd like to introduce you to Kevin Brownlee. He is the curator of archaeology at the Manitoba Museum and has participated in many of the digs here.
Thanks. My name's Kevin. I'm the curator of archaeology at the Manitoba Museum, and some of our collections relate to what was found here at the Forks. Really significant site for Manitoba and for Winnipeg. And there's sort of this lore around the Forks, and it goes back to when development first sort of started happening to envision what we see today in 1988. So at that time, the archaeologist who was working at the site on the mitigation, he was working there in one evening after he'd sort of packed up his work in the field and was approached by two elders. They said, oh, you know, you happen to be working on a very important site. Yeah, I realize that this is an important site. And they said, well, you know, a really important event happened here in the past. In my grandfather's 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 time, there was a peace treaty that happened between nine nations. What do you want me to do with this information now that I'm being told this? And they said, nothing, but you know, keep this in mind as you continue to work at the Forks. And so that was sort of always in his mind. And as he was doing work on this one site, he came down and to this one layer and was finding pottery from Northwest Ontario, Southern Minnesota. One camp had deposited all these things. And immediately he came to the idea, this has got to relate to this oral history of the peace treaty. In the subsequent years after that, they have found additional evidence of this peace treaty. It's a beautiful story. I think one of the great pieces about that is that the archaeologists sort of never questioned the stories that was told to them from the elders. But now it allows us to tell this incredible story of a treaty that was established pre-European contact between nine nations. You know, it's kind of like negotiations at the United Nations. Down at the Forks, you can go down meters and still find material. And so you have this incredible sort of time capsules. And so it was a really dynamic area, and I think a place like the Forks really helps archaeologists to sort out what was going on. Virtually every place where they do work at the Forks, the archaeologists that come in advance of it will find material. When they were doing work at the parkade there, you know, under one of the stalls, directly below was an Avonlea pot that's probably 1500 or 1600 years old. And there was stuff found at the skateboard park and in at the Forks. And so under all of these places, you know, lies this incredible history that sort of speaks to Indigenous presence here at the Forks for thousands of years.
Miigwetchin, thanks, Kevin. Talk to you later. As you pass through the peace meeting site, keep left. You should be turning at a kiosk that says the Plaza at the Forks. Do you see it? Let's head into the plaza. It's a little different from your typical downtown plaza. It's totally skateable. In fact, it's the largest urban skate park in Canada and enjoyed by everyone, from beginners to experts like Tony Hawk, who loved it when he and his friends came to skate at it.
Well, you know, just when you think you've seen it all, this hybrid street plaza with ramps and things thrown in, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Well, it's super fun.
To your left, you see the CN stage and the Winnipeg sign. Some of the city's best bands have rocked it here, from the Weaker Thens to the Guess Who, Buffy St. Marie, the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. This stage has seen a lot. Canada's biggest Indigenous celebration, Aboriginal Day Live, is held right here. On Canada Day, thousands of people come to this stage
to see the country's best music live and enjoy the fireworks. Matt Schellenberg is a great Winnipeg musician who has played the CN stage and field with the pride of Lipton Street, the Liptonians. They were accompanied on Canada Day by another pretty good band, the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. He also played the stage with Winnipeg's favorite band, Royal Canoe, for the big Canada 150 party.
Hi, Negan. Great to see you. Really fun to be here on stage again. Yeah, this is kind of the stage to play. Growing up in Winnipeg, you see it all the time, you know, when you're at the Forks, which all Winnipeggers are. And it's really the spot where you grow up seeing other established Winnipeg and international musicians play. So playing it was kind of a dream come true. The feeling is pretty incredible just to see your entire community. At some point, I think the number 40,000 people was thrown out there, and the symphony behind you playing these parts that you wrote in your basement in your 20s. And it's really something special. It's probably just the highlight of my life. I grew up in Kleefeld, a small town outside of Winnipeg, and wrote Growing Old in the City about moving to the city and how I knew I'd grow old here. And just my complex feelings about that move and going from the rural to the urban. And yeah, so to play it in that setting was pretty nuts. Negan, I know you have to continue with the tour, but just wanted to show you a snippet of that song.
Thank you, Matt. While we listen to this tune, I want to point out that you are also at the most popular spot in Winnipeg to take a selfie, the Big Winnipeg sign. Why don't you take a few minutes and get a shot? You'll have to get off the beaten path, though, and cross the grass, but don't worry. Thousands before have done the same thing. In case you're wondering, people from Winnipeg call themselves peggers. But shouldn't it be winners? Done your selfie? That's great. You have a memento of your visit here. Ready to continue on? With your back to the Winnipeg sign, look across the field and locate the big chimney in the distance. We want to cross that field and head towards it. You'll pass the skate park on your right and be on the main road in approximately 125 steps. In 150 more steps, you will be across from the chimney. While we're strolling along, I want to introduce you to my good friend Donna Merrill, a proud Winnipegger who played this site on many occasions, including Canada Day and Aboriginal Day Live. Hey, Don. Winnipeg
is my hometown. Hey, Negan. Like you, I'm very proud to be a Manitoban and a Winnipegger. I really hope you're enjoying this tour of my hometown and the historic Forks. This has been a place I've actually really loved to play a lot myself. Hey, while you're strolling along, I'd love to play for you right now. I hope you might enjoy my song from my brand new album, Evolution. This one's called Live While I'm Alive.
Oh, that old car in the field on Grandpa's farm. What a beauty. She had class, she had charm. I wanna be like her. When I'm old and gray, my time's up. Nothing left unsaid to say. Wanna take the back roads the way she did back then. Taking chances out of the lines now and again. Wanna make some noise, I wanna be heard. Shake things up, let the tires burn.
You should be passing by the parkade on your left now. That's the same parkade that Kevin referred to where they found the 1,500-year-old pot. Continue along the road until you arrive at the corner of Israel Asper Way. Take a break here and look around. What is that big chimney that guided us here? It's part of the old steam plant that used to heat all of the buildings at the Forks and even a lot of downtown Winnipeg buildings like the Hotel Fort Garry and the Manitoba Club across the street. That idea ran out of steam, though. Now it's home to a TV network. This colorful building beside us is the Manitoba Theatre for Young People, one of the premier children's theatres in the world. The front courtyard of the theatre is the same dimensions as Shakespeare's Globe Theatre and is complete with a Juliet balcony. Here you can see productions from all over the globe. If you have time, take a quick walk around their lobby where props from previous productions are proudly displayed. Give my best to Smaug the Dragon. Across the street, you can see the rail cars. The red CPR car was built in 1926 as a buffet and parlor car. The green-colored combine car was built in 1924 and combined both freight and passengers. That 1930s caboose is fully refurbished, and during the summer months, you can go take a peek inside. The two wooden box cars next door are used as the Wrench Bicycle Pop-Up Shop in the summer. Now let's cross at the walking path. If you look to your left across the parking lot, you can see the Manitoba Tourist Center. There you'll find everything you need to know about festivals and activities that happen province-wide. Now look up toward the glass tower with the Canadian flag on it. Do you see it? That's the Forks Market Building, and that's where we are headed. While we are heading over to the Market Building, remember our quiz question? What was that building originally used for that had more horsepower in it than the most powerful locomotive? In years gone by, it was the horse barns from the railway. Look above the shop stores and you can still see the original arches of the stables. The second floor lofts were the hay lofts and tack rooms. Though it was the rail age, it was well before automobiles. All deliveries of those goods were by horse, and there were hundreds stabled here. We are now heading to the last spot on our tour, the top of the glass tower. Now there's a number of ways to get to the glass tower. You can go through the market building or walk around under the canopy where we began, and you'll be right at the base of the tower. I think it might be best to push pause here till you get to the top of the tower, then push play and we can continue. Press pause now. Welcome back. Pretty nice view, eh? Below, you can see the canopy where you started, and around you is the Winnipeg panorama. On a clear day, it feels like you can see the entire city from here. You get a good feel for the soul of the prairie. Endless sky and endless space. But it didn't always look like this. Etienne Gaboury recalls what the Fork was like when he was first asked to design a new space here.
It was an abandoned industrial site, pretty dilapidated. There were piles of sand and gravel, abandoned buildings. There was a row of old sheds. When you think of the value and the beauty of the site, it's pretty depressing how it was misused. The central idea was a gathering place, like it had been for millennia by the First Nations people. But that was the central idea. The other one was to restore the dignity of the site, recognize the importance of the site, and especially the fact that it was at the Forks of the meeting of the two rivers. Before the Forks, when you think of it, the rivers were more or less abandoned. There was very, very little recognition of the beauty and the importance and this wonderful resource. The site has become a major focal point of the city. It has revitalized the city of Winnipeg, a place to meet, a place to gather. And from that point of view, I think it's really quite successful, much more successful than I would have even imagined. It's quite remarkable. I think it's a wonderful example of how we can adapt to our environment, how we can celebrate our environment. It's a celebration of who we are. I'm also pleased with how the site has evolved. It has become, in a way, a representation of our creativity, of our imagination. Forks represents so many things, so many levels of expression of who we are.
We hope your walk today has enriched your understanding of the Forks. Please come again. You're always welcome. Friendly Manitoba awaits. Now I invite you to head down to the Forks Commons and patio, a place where you can do what has been done here for thousands of years, for generation after generation. Meet, feast, refresh, and enjoy our friends and family and celebrate this wonderful place together. Thank you, merci, miigwech, marci, ekose.